minutes to three, and as promised, Dion Viljoen, the chairman of DOCRA, is in the house. Nice to see you again, Dion.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for the invite. Good afternoon, everyone.
And it looks like we're in for an interesting time because we've got huge challenges, and it would appear that the municipality, in its wisdom or lack thereof, has appointed officials that seem to be, you know, to use a hackneyed expression, the usual suspects, so to speak. Rather than putting in people that we understand might be more qualified to do the job that's required, they seem to have fallen back on the old party politics and the old CADA deployment technique of putting compatriots and compadres into positions where they can at least do no harm as far as, you know, party politics is concerned. But of course, the harm that is done to the community they're supposed to serve as a result of incapacity, really, I think that's the word. It's not as if they necessarily are bad people. Let's not go there. But I think probably not really suitably qualified for the jobs that they head or the positions that they head. And that's a huge, huge problem because, I mean, look at the electricity at the moment. We've had so many unplanned outages, and, of course, they're all being blamed on the floods, which is partly, I'm sure, a reason, but mainly I think these things are as a result of poor maintenance and even poorer oversight. And well, we had Sipho in the studio the other day from KDM, Sipho Mkhize. He's the official spokesperson. He apparently had done some due diligence and said, yes, look, we apologize for poor communication. We haven't communicated effectively, and we understand we do have problems, but we've got a plan, and we're getting there. And luckily, you guys, DOCRA, have been keeping a very tight oversight. For the first time, I think, in a long time, we've got people that can actually read a financial statement in the association.
Ask awkward questions.
And, well, it's really questions that need to be asked, and we need the answers. And obviously, where there are answers we can understand, then fine. But it's where there are no answers or answers that make no sense that we have an issue.
Sure.
Now the mayor's coming to town to unpack the budget. And you guys surely must have a view.
Sure. Dave, maybe just to come back to the people that are in charge. Most of those executive directors have been there for quite a while. So they well experienced and they know the area well. The problem that we have is lack of performance management and lack of consequence management. Those are the two issues. So we can't fault our municipality on their financial due diligence. They do quite well. As a matter of fact, the best municipality in KZN as far as sustainability is concerned. They have a lot of plans, but when it gets to the implementation and actually carrying out the job that they've got the money for and the plans for, that is where the problem lies. And that is where we as civic society have to get involved and ask the questions and start pushing for proper accountability in performance management and accountability in consequence management.
There seems to be a resistance on the municipality's part to engage with a public-private partnership of any description, really. And I know that there are a lot of experienced, retired professionals in the area that I think would be only too willing to give of their expertise and advice, almost in a mentorship capacity, where there is a lack of capacity, just to ensure that things are done properly. I've been contacted by a number of people, particularly in the electrical sphere. And yet it would appear that there's a suspicion, and I suppose one can understand it, that maybe they're running a different agenda, or maybe just simply too embarrassed to have someone that knows what they're talking about coming in an advisory capacity like that to point out the high. But surely this is an area that we need to push for.
Yes, absolutely. And that is where civic society has to play a role. And we are now playing a lot stronger role. And I think to the surprise of the municipality, they're not accustomed to us actually understanding their figures and actually understanding engineering stuff and road stuff and electricity stuff and asking technical questions and getting involved. So you could see the surprise when that happens. So just to get back to the current budget, you know, we've come through a lot of financial activities over the last, say, 2 or 3 months. First, there was the amended budget for the rest of this year, which goes up to the end of June. So we got stuck in with that and commented on that because we want to make sure that the money that they budgeted the previous year is actually going to be spent. No point in putting in a budget. And our municipality, unfortunately, has a habit of underspending what they've budgeted for. So we're putting pressure on them.
When I had this discussion with Mr. Mkhize the other day, he pointed out that, no, you know, there's a figure of $144 million underspend in the electrical budget. But in fact, it's not an underspend. It's an allocation that was supposedly going to go towards a new substation, which has been delayed. So that is earmarked, that 144. We can't take that money to do other stuff with. Okay, fair enough. But there was another $74 million that's still underspent.
Yeah. You know, sometimes those stories are true. But yeah, unless you start getting in the detail, they fob you off with those kind of answers. And I'll give you one or two of those examples where we're now digging our heels in and analyzing the budget. So just after that came the annual report for the previous year. And that's a 400-page document. We've gone through that, both the annual report, the audited financials, and there we look for irregular expenditure and how was that handled and so on. Immediately after that came the series of impact meetings. Impact meetings are consolidated auditor meetings. So it's your internal auditor, your external auditor, your auditor general, and they all consolidate in this one meeting where all of the findings are collated, and then an overall trend gets submitted to council and say, guys, watch out for this and watch out for that, and what are you doing about this and so on. The current phase that we're in is now the budget for the 2022-2023 year, which starts on the 1st of July. And that's been available already for a month, and the time to put in comments was on the 29th of April, which we did. So we've got some 30-odd questions, 3 pages of it, after analyzing the budget of questions that we asked. And now starts what they call the imbizos, and that's the interaction with the community to talk about the budget. And because of the floods, they're a bit late. So tomorrow night at Townsend Park at 6 o'clock, they are doing an imbizo for our part of the world, the side of the Dolphin Coast. And for the first time, they're actually putting 3 wards together. So in the past, you would do Ward 22 at Salt Rock Library separately, and then you'll do Ward 30, and then you'll do Ward 6 somewhere else, and whatever in those areas. But they've now consolidated all 3 of the wards, 22, 30, and 6, in one imbizo tomorrow night. So I think there's going to be a lot of questions and a lot of interaction. There are going to be imbizos in all the other wards. As you know, there are 30 wards, so the other 27 wards. And this happens during the month of May. And then the final budget gets presented at the council on the 28th of May. So this is our opportunity to impact on it.
Okay, so what is the purpose of this? Is it just a window dressing exercise to say we've been out to the areas, we've chatted to the community, and all is good? Are they actually expecting a dialogue with the community leaders or members of the community? Or is attendance at this function tomorrow simply going to be a waste of time?
You're quite right that in the past it was a tick box exercise. You know, we've consulted with the community, we made it difficult for them to get a copy of the budget. Those were the days. They can't do that with us anymore. We actually get a copy of the budget and we host it on our website so everybody can get access to it and so on. And we go through it in detail. However, tomorrow is the opportunity to come in numbers, to demonstrate our concern, to learn and to hear what their thinking is and their presentation is. Will there be a lot of a dialogue and sitting down and consulting happening at a meeting like that? Probably not. Can you raise issues? So we have a big issue with electricity in our part of the world, and yes, we can raise questions. Yes, we can ask and get answers. But the more questions we ask and the more we communicate and exchange ideas, the more they start feeling the pressure and the more they start realizing. So it is very important that we come out in numbers tomorrow night.
I'm very confident that there are going to be or there is going to be a large crowd there. My concern is that the venue is too small because they've earmarked it's a very tiny little hall, the Scout Hall in Townsend Park, and I think that it's going to be beyond capacity. So are there any plans afoot to have some kind of public address system so that people that spill out into the... And also with COVID, it's pretty much almost, I think, a fait accompli that COVID is back again. Yes, and it would be irresponsible, I think, to pack people like sardines into a confined space.
Sure.
So probably if there are numbers in excess of what the hall can carry, it's going to be an open air affair. weather permitting, and the weather looks all right tomorrow. But, of course, the public address system requirements for an open-air meeting are extensive, and I don't think we've given that any thought.
So there's already been two Imbizas. So there was one last week Tuesday, which I attended at the City Council. That was for ward committee members, and I'm a ward committee member, so I could attend that. And then there was one at the Lembe Chamber last week Thursday, hosted by the Lembe Chamber, by Kobus, and we were there and we attended that. And then, as I say, there's going to be another 27 in all the other wards. So there's going to be ample opportunity. If you can't address your question tomorrow night, then maybe you can go to another presentation and address your question there.
From the ones that you've been to, what has been the tone?
The tone is here's our presentation, ask questions, and then the answers have been defensive. Mm. You know, it's been defending their positions, a bit of like a cricket game, you know, and we bowling the balls and they watching their wickets kind of thing, you know, and hopefully they can hit us for a six.
Yeah, which is not really, I think...
It's not consultation.
And it's not in the spirit of what the idea of behind an Imbizo is. It's to have a dialogue that's meaningful.
Correct. And that's where DACRA comes in, because we've now, after our two sessions that we had last week, we've got additional questions, and we're going to make this available to everybody tomorrow night. So we're going to have the concerns that we've raised, the issues, and the proposals. So we don't just say, why are you doing this or why are you doing this? You shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
We say, if you're going to reduce this budget, then you can allocate it there. So we do the calculations for them and we make recommendations. So we'll make that available. And those that are interested can then go through those and then can feed their comments directly to DACRA, which will consolidate. What the municipality also will do is sit down with DACRA and go through our questions. So go through each of them, understand them, and then give us their feedback and tell us what they're going to change or what they're not going to change and so on. So that process is taking place.
And for anyone listening to this for the and wondering about the office, if you like, of the Resident and Ratepayers Association and how important it is, and in fact whether it's a statutory body or not, and it's very important to understand that it is the only statutory body for residents and ratepayers to meaningfully engage with the municipality. By law, they have to take DACRA seriously. If the municipality continues to disregard the reasonable requests and suggestions of the Residents and Ratepayers Association, is there a remedy for that?
Yes, there are various external bodies that we can go to. So we utilize, for example, the Auditor General's office quite a lot. He's an external organization. We know him. We meet with him when he comes down. We raise issues with him for him to watch out with and so on. Then there's SCOPA. Then there's COCTA. They're government and semi-government structures, so we can utilize those. You can also go legal because our rights are entrenched in law. Mm-hmm. They're entrenched in the Constitution, in the Municipal Systems Act, in the Municipal Finance and Management Act. So, and the municipality knows that, and they're fully aware. So the minute they start seeing, but these guys are not going away. They're there all the time, and they keep on asking the same questions, and they keep on pushing us. And I can already see how our influence is starting to change thinking and preparation and thought going into documents that they're presenting.
You see, the reason I ask the question is because I think that there are those in the community that are tired of talk and want action immediately. And there are also a few sort of hot flames burning that almost are fermenting a sense of, well, we're going to get something done tomorrow. We're going to show them and that we're going to... That would probably produce a reaction that is not going to be particularly helpful, I don't think. But the importance of joining DACRA and allowing, therefore, the processes to work properly and allowing the organization to operate with revenue to go legal if necessary is vital. So for everyone that is part of the Greater Dolphin Coast region that would like to become part of the solution rather than part of the problem, this is one way of constructively getting involved, simply joining DACRA. That's the first point. 250 Rand per annum is your contribution, and with enough people behind it, and there already is a substantial quorum, if you like, in the organization. But everyone that joins adds extra weight. And then the representatives are, as I say, very fortunate to have now extremely qualified, like your good self and your committee, people that are doing this voluntarily because we're all invested in this area and we want it to continue to thrive, not to devolve as it has been over the past couple of years, sadly. So we are all invested in a positive outcome. Tomorrow is going to be an excellent opportunity, I think, for the entire town to turn out in a positive, constructive manner and show force. This is important.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, when you stand together in solidarity, you can actually move mountains, and I believe moving the municipality is a bit akin to that sometimes.
And you know, another thing that we did, for example, is we formed an alliance with other ratepayers association in Kwarakuza. So Tinley Manor, Blythedales and Kwazi are all part of the voice that we're raising. So they're starting to understand that this is not just, you know, three or four people that have got to be in their bonnet and want to throw tomatoes and rotten eggs and so on. It's constructive engagement, and it's using your presence and your regular presence, but it's going both with a soft glove and a harder glove, and being constructive in the process and coming up with possible solutions for them to consider. So when we say to them, listen, increasing our rates and taxes by 5%, or what about reducing the a rebate that you introduced last year that we managed to negotiate of 25%, what about just reducing that by 5% and going with 0%? You're going to get the same kind of money in your coffers, and you do that over a 4 or 5 year period until the next time that property revaluations come around. Now, those are novel things. When we talk about illegal dumping, or we talk about litter in townships and litter in our area, what about a litter for tokens initiative? What about paying people to come and dump instead of having them pay and then they look for alternates, or they create false economies and you know, problem areas where illegal dumping takes place.
So there are lots of concerns, and there are solutions to almost every problem that we've currently faced. So the opportunity tomorrow to get together, if you're a member of DOCRA, good to meet the leadership there tomorrow. If you're not, come and join. Be part of the growing association that's getting a really, I think, extremely good press. Because bottom line is, it's in everyone's interest, I think, that we play this game properly. Dion, thanks very much for joining us. Is there anything else that you'd like to add ahead of the Imbizo tomorrow?
Dave, no. We're looking forward to see everybody there. We will share with you what we've already researched and the questions that we are asking so that you know exactly in which direction we're going. But it'll be great to see everybody there. And yes, let's do it in a constructive and positive way, because doing it in a in any other kind of way, in an adversarial kind of way, we've got so many examples throughout the country where we know that's absolutely not working, and you're breaking down a municipality, and you know, you're affecting everybody's property values. Businesses leave, and 5 years down the line you sit with a broken town, and now you get to try and build it from the bottom up. Doesn't work.
Well, I honestly believe that collectively we can achieve what we need to achieve, and that the way forward is, I think the future is looking potentially very bright if we keep cool heads and calm demeanor and simply go in the right direction under the leadership of DOCRA at this point in time, which is doing extraordinarily well in terms of engagement with the municipality and building bridges rather than digging ditches. This will go up as a podcast in the next 20, 30 minutes or so. So if you only caught the end of our discussion, I'm in conversation, or have been, with Dion Viljoen, the chairperson of DOCRA, ahead of tomorrow's mayoral imbizo in Townsend Park at 6 o'clock. If you'd like to share the information, well, it'll be available for you on our our apps are available at the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, or simply on our website, lifeandstyle.fm. Dion, thanks again for joining me. I look forward to seeing you in the park tomorrow.
And thank you for your support also.